I invite you to remain standing for our gospel reading this morning. It comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We're in the midst of our church-wide study on the book called The Good and Beautiful God, looking at different characteristics of who God is that are revealed to us in Scripture. Last week, we discussed the goodness of God, that we don't believe in a God who punishes the bad and rewards the good, but that we believe in a God who desires to work goodness into each of our lives because we are all created as God's beloved children. This week, we're moving on to God is trustworthy. Now, in many ways, a trustworthy God comes from a good God, because we believe in a God who desires goodness. We believe in a God we can trust. We believe in a God who keeps promises. As James Bryan Smith, the author of the book, says, quote, "To trust someone is to believe that they have your best interests in mind, that they will protect you from harm, and that they are reliable." Trust, though, is a complicated part of our lives. There are people we trust. There are people who have broken our trust. Some of us find it easy to trust others, and some of us find it difficult to trust others. We've all had times in our life when our trust was broken. I remember one early time in my life when my own trust was broken. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and my older sister and I were at our grandparents' house. My grandma was watching us, but she was off in the kitchen doing something, and so my sister went and found my grandma's makeup. I remember her telling me that if I trusted her, she could make me look like a clown. She told me I could trust, too, that this was definitely something we were allowed to do and that we wouldn't get in trouble. This sounded fun, and of course, I trusted my older sister. However, a little while later, when my mom came to pick us up and my grandma admitted she wasn't sure what we were doing, but we had been nice and quiet for a long time. And then I came out with my entire face covered in my grandma's lipstick. I realized that not only did I not look like a clown, but that my sister's insistence that this was something we were allowed to do was not in fact true. We got in trouble. I had to get lipstick washed off of my whole face, which is not a pleasant experience. And I learned that older sisters are not always to be trusted, especially when they tell you you're definitely not going to get in trouble for something. Of course, of all things, that was a minor breaking of trust. And there are many times in our lives where our trust is severely broken, where people we love do something that harms us, where people in authority over us do turn out to have lied to us. And because our trust in others is so often broken, it can be difficult for us to even be able to trust in God. Even when we might proclaim that we believe in God's promises and that we believe that God is faithful and that we believe that God is trustworthy, our lives don't actually reflect those beliefs. In the book, the author characterizes a lack of trust in God as fear, which can be true, but I found that idea to be really similar to believing that God punishes us when we're bad. And we just talked about that last week, so you can just listen to that again if you want. Instead, what I want us to talk about this morning is how more often our lack of trust in God comes across as self-reliance. When we aren't trusting in God, we are instead trying to do life on our own. So we live into this self-narrative that, sure, God is there, but if we want something to happen, well, we need to take care of that on our own. And so we try to do everything on our own. We work harder. We never stop. We earn more, and we do more, and we don't say no, because we aren't actually trusting in God. This is especially common for those of us who can get oh so close to doing life well by ourselves. Those of us who can provide, who seem to have enough, who are good at looking like we have everything together. Those of us who others rely on for care and for advice and for wisdom and to get stuff done. We think that we can manage and that we can control our lives on our own. And so sure, we believe that God is trustworthy and that God is faithful and that God keeps promises, but we don't really need God to do those things for us. That is, of course, until something happens that we can't control. And all those ways that we have been trying to do life on our own suddenly don't work anymore. But here's the good news. There's so much freedom that comes from trusting in God. There's so much freedom from believing that you don't have to do life on your own, that you don't have to be the one who keeps it all together. This isn't a message to make you feel bad about trying too hard or doing too much. It's a message to say that that's not how you have to live. That we don't believe in a God who helps those who help themselves. That's a false narrative. The truth is this. We believe in a God who is trustworthy, a God who is faithful, and a God who keeps promises. And we see that in our scripture from this morning. The scripture, which is Jesus teaching the disciples that what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer, is a prayer that shows us a God who is trustworthy. In this prayer, which many are taught in childhood and which many Christians pray weekly or even daily, it's a prayer that shows us a trustworthy God. From the very beginning of the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," we see a God who wants to be active in our lives. Jesus uses the term Father as a term of closeness and truth. And in the Jewish belief at the time, heaven wasn't a far-off place, but was actually thought of as the surrounding air and sky. And so God was close and near. And then we pray that we want God's kingdom to be near and God's will to be done. That we trust that God's way is actually the best way for us to live. That we trust that the way God desires the world to be, a way of liberation and justice and righteousness and love, is actually the best way for the world to be. But it's the second half of the prayer I want us to really focus on for the rest of our time this morning. In the good and beautiful God, James Bryan Smith offers three descriptions for what we learn about God in that part of the prayer. God provides, God pardons, and God protects. In all of those, we see the trustworthiness of God. We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," because we trust that we have a God who provides what we need. Not what we want, but what we truly need, even in moments when we might not know what it is we need. Perhaps we need God's patience to be with us in a challenging time. Perhaps we need God's hope when we're in the midst of despair. Perhaps we need community when we feel left out or lonely. And how does this provision happen? Well, it often happens through other people. And this is really cool, but a little confusing, because I'm going to tell you right now that you praying the Lord's Prayer allows you to be the answer to somebody else's Lord's Prayer. How does that work? Well, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we're praying that we might become people who bring about the kingdom of God, who bring about provision and what is needed to others. And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're praying that we might be provided for. So when you pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and then you go out and you provide love or grace or empowerment or healing or hope to somebody, You're the answer to their "Give us this day our daily bread" prayer. And when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and then somebody else provides love or grace or empowerment or healing or hope for you, you're their answer to "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." God provides so often through the people of faith that we are surrounded by. And God pardons. We pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Trusting in a God who pardons, a God who forgives, is one of the most challenging aspects of a trustworthy God. There are times where we convince ourselves and we start to believe that God can't really forgive us. We hold on to guilt and we hold on to shame. Those things that we have done, those situations that we blame ourselves for, we come to believe that God might not truly forgive us. And yet, a forgiving and pardoning God is the God we see over and over again from Jesus. A God who would go even to death on a cross in order that the world might be offered forgiveness. And so those things that you're holding on to, those things that cause you shame, those things that cause you guilt, you can trust, really trust, in God's forgiveness for you. Now, I know that might be a process for you to feel forgiven. It might not happen immediately. You might need to talk to a friend or a pastor or a therapist to help process some of that guilt and shame. But know this morning that you can truly trust God's forgiveness, that there is nothing that you can have done that God cannot or will not forgive, that there is nothing that can separate us from God's promises. God forgives, God pardons, God reconciles. And finally, God protects. Jesus finishes the prayer that he teaches his disciples with these words: "And do not bring us to the time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one." Because we believe in a God who is trustworthy, we believe in a God who protects us from evil. Of course, that doesn't mean that nothing bad or hard will ever happen to us. Instead, it means that God will always be with us, that God's way is never leading us into evil, that we have a God who can redeem all things. And so as we strive to move away from doing life on our own, we can trust that doing life with God will not lead us into temptation or evil. We can trust that God's promises are for good. It can be tempting for us to live into the false narrative that we have to do life on our own, to think that if we just work more or try harder or have more control, that we can handle things by ourselves. But when we live that way, we aren't living into the freedom of trusting in God. We trust in God because we have a God who provides, a God who pardons, and a God who protects. We trust in God because we remember all those times that God has done those things for us before. So this week, call to mind the ways that God has provided, pardoned, and protected you in the past. There'll be an anchor for you to hold on to as you seek to trust in God in the future. And then when you need to be sustained, when you find yourselves wanting to rely on your own self instead of God's self, turn to the words of the Lord's Prayer to remind you that God provides, God pardons, and God protects. Let us pray. Good and holy God, Lord, we want to be people who trust in you. We want to be people who give up trying to do things on our own, thinking that if we just do more and work harder, have more control, that we can manage by ourselves. Lord, let us surrender that need to you. Instead, pick up our trust in you, that we might trust that your faithfulness and your promises are always true for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.